Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 30th day of August, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County in Durango, Colorado. We broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you'd like to listen to us anywhere else on the planet, just go to our website and stream us, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this community-supported visual radio program. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and our YouTube channel. So we're glad that you were all with us this morning. Coming up today, of course, it is back-to-school season, so we're getting an update from Farmington Municipal Schools. Hope you'll stay tuned for that conversation, which begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE Today. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking in once again with Ron Price, who is back with us, of course, for another lesson about life in the sandbox that you will see or hear at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, it is our classical music program, Roving with the Arts. Mick Hess will take us roving up until 10:30, and then we go to Right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program with host Delcherie Gladden. So a full morning of local programming for you here on KSJE. We also invite you to connect with us besides Facebook and YouTube. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and on Instagram as well. And if you're a podcast person, KSJE produces podcasts of all of our local programs. You can find them wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Pandora. And the list goes on and on and on, so maybe you'll discover a new program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's a sunny Wednesday morning so far, 69 degrees in Farmington at the moment. We're expecting a sunny and hot day today and again tomorrow, 93 for high today, and on Thursday, overnight lows, 60 tonight, 64 tomorrow, 90 with partly sunny skies on Friday, and then things cool off with maybe a chance of showers and on Saturday, high 85 on Saturday, 84 with partly sunny skies on Sunday, and then temperatures maybe in the lower 80s for the beginning of next week. Back with my guest with more in just a moment. This is KSJE. Back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from Farmington Municipal Schools, Superintendent Cody Deal is with me this morning. Mr. Deal, welcome back to KSJE. Good to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Good to be back.
Good to have you back after a little summer break. So back in the swing of things.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. So students were gone, but there's never a break, right?
No, probably not, right? You got a little bit of a break, you were telling me, but still the work continues over the summer, you and others at the district.
So yeah, it's certainly a different type of work, but we brought a lot of people in this summer and a lot of training, a lot of preparing for the next school year. So yeah, it was a good summer.
Very good. All right. I also want to welcome Roberto Tabota here to the studio as well, the public relations officer, PIO, for the district. Roberto, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you coming in as well. Enrollment, I guess we could start things. You're a little bit around 11,000 students. Is that where we are?
Yeah, I think this morning 11,177 is the number.
Right.
So that's good. It's amazing. We seem to keep growing or staying steady, so it's good. Our schools are full, and students are happy to be here.
Right. That puts you in the spot, though, being the largest school district in the region, mm-hmm. By far. And so that comes with a lot of other responsibilities and other programs that you're able to offer to your students and things along that line, too.
Yeah. I mean, so the opportunities to have vast resources, and you know, in a bigger district, whether it's having our own facilitators and coaches to support teachers, and just different types of resources that we're able to provide staff and students. So it's a big place, but in a lot of cases it's good. So to have the extra support and resources for our schools and staff and students. So,
right.
Yep.
Very good. Well, we hope to have a successful year for you and your staff and your students, of course.
Absolutely. You know, that's always the goal, is to get better, whether it's 1% a day or, you know, it's always that's our purpose, is to continue to grow, and hopefully we're doing that.
Right. A couple of awards and recognitions I want to ask you about, too, that we see on the screen, the Golden Chili Award.
Yeah, I can't, and we say it a lot, right? I can't speak enough about our student nutrition program and Miss Marie Johnson, who oversees that, along with K-12 Elior, who we contract with. But getting out and you know, the New Mexico Grown Coalition and coming together with communities and organizations to provide not only support and have collaboration, but to provide good healthy meals for our students. And I can't speak enough about that program and the collaboration that we have with K-12 Elior, and along with Ms. Johnson and her team, you know, and their leadership.
Her ears must be ringing an awful lot, because we talk about her a lot.
It seems like we talk about it a lot, you know.
Well, and other reasons too, because I know she works very closely with the local food hub and local growers and things like that, to maybe bring in locally grown produce and vegetables and fruit to serve to the students and staff.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, along with those opportunities, and then, of course, with Senate Bill 4 and the students, you know, breakfast and lunch is free. And so we want to provide good quality meals for our students, and having those partnerships allows us to do that.
Well, and helps build the farming infrastructure here too. If there's a demand or a market for those produce that's being grown, it gives farmers an incentive, I think, to grow it, knowing that they'll be able to sell it.
Absolutely. And you know, people think that, you know, the school system, we need those partnerships, whether it be with local farmers or safety, our partnership with the police department. I can't say enough about our community and how they support our schools. It's great to live in a community that does that.
That's true. Very true. Some recognition with your Johnson O'Malley. I believe it's grant funding, correct?
Yeah. So from the Navajo Nation. And so last Monday, we sent a group of students and educators to Flagstaff for the Navajo Nation JOM, Johnson O'Malley Conference. And we walked away with our programs, and a couple teachers walked away with some awards. And I think that we have a couple teachers who are going to be recognized nationally in Chicago next week or the week after next, September 12th, 13th, somewhere in there. So good stuff. Miss Grace Blackwater at Farmington High School, and Carmelita Lee, one of our facilitators in our district. And then the overall program, Johnson O'Malley program, was recognized. So the leadership of who, you know, we've had Nate Parentoni in before, Executive Director of Support Services, is over the multicultural program. But we also have Diane Arrington, who is the director, and newly hired Dr. Geraldine Garrity. So the support that she's already given the Johnson O'Malley program and our Indian Education Committee. So good stuff happening there.
Very good. Very good. Let me ask you a little bit, too, about the year just starting, of course. This is, what, week three?
Week
for
three.
Most of your students at Farmington Schools?
Yeah, we had a little wonky start right there, Thursday, Friday start, but really full weeks, yes. This is the third full week.
Okay, very good. And so we mentioned enrollment, of course, and so things are looking pretty stable for the year, it seems to me. And so let's talk about the getting ready for the new school year, kind of talking about some professional development over the summer for your staff.
Yeah, and I encourage people to go to our Facebook page. Roberto and Lauren Gonzalez, our media specialist, did an amazing job of capturing what we did over the summer. And whether it was our second annual High Reliability School Summit, which aligns with our strategic plans that our board has committed to. So that we kicked off the summer with that big conference. Can't thank Nicole Lampson, the executive director of curriculum and instruction, for speaking spearheading this project over the last couple of years. It allows us to bring in the experts around high reliability schools versus us sending people to Austin or San Antonio where they have the annual conference. So it's a big deal, and I think it's going to just continue to grow, and it sets the tone for the summer and how we prepare. So along with that, we had some writing institutes, we had family engagement, professional development and how we engage our families. We have customer service training. We want our schools to be open and welcoming. And of course we have our departments. We hosted a transportation academy for districts across not only New Mexico, but the Four Corners area. So a lot of great stuff happening, people learning and growing over the summer.
Very good. And hoping that kind of fires them up and, I guess, lasts throughout the school year, I assume.
Well, and one of our goals in our high reliability structure is providing a safe, supportive, collaborative culture. So, yeah, not only and I'll talk about it a little more, when we talk about in the next slide. But sure. Our mission and our goal and our focus is to provide. It's become much more difficult to be a teacher. So yes, kicking off the year is always easy, but maintaining that and that stamina and it's a tough gig, So we want to do everything we can to support our teachers and provide them the best opportunities, the best professional development and resources so they can do their job well.
Are you seeing a lot of newer teachers joining the ranks of staff in the district? I know staffing is always an issue. How are things looking this year? And I guess, are they kind of trending a little younger, coming right out of school perhaps, and appreciative of that support?
Yeah, it stays pretty consistent. I mean, we get a group of first-time teachers to the profession, along with teachers from other areas, other districts that join us. So I think we had 115 new staff members. We didn't have 115 teachers.
Yeah.
I think the number of new teachers was in the 55 to 60 range. So typical.
Okay. I think about some of the programs for maybe folks with a bachelor's degree who maybe want to teach, but maybe they've already gone through a career, so they might be older age-wise than your typical new teacher, but they're still new to the teaching profession coming to districts.
That happens as well. In our partnership with San Juan College and other universities around the alternative licensure program.
That's it. That's right.
And so bringing teachers in that have a bachelor's degree, say in engineering, to teach mathematics, and the partnership that we have with San Juan College for them to get certified is a good one. We have a number of those as well.
Good. And knowing they have support once they get there, too, I think is important to know they're not going to be tossed into a classroom and say, see you in May.
So another thing that we do well, and so our teacher development and prep program, along with Ms. Lampson's department, who I mentioned, but Aaron Gokel is focused on teacher development, a coordinator in our district. And so our mentor program, and the state says we have to keep them in a mentor program for a certain period of time, 1 to 2 years, depending on their level of experience, but we extend that 3, 4, 5 years to support them.
Gotcha.
And of course, even beyond that, we support all of our teachers.
Right.
And I think everybody deserves a coach. Whether you're a first-year teacher, whether you're a 30-year veteran, we can always get better.
True.
Yeah.
Or an old radio guy. I would say that too.
Things change.
That's true. Very true. Because now we have video cameras. Who would have thought? But there you are. Let's continue on, and I want to ask you, and you want to tell us, I think, what you learned in your first year as superintendent, by the way. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. So it was a great year, and I learned a lot, but I didn't know the magnitude of being pulled in so many different directions, and I thought, I'm going to be the guy that's in schools every single day. Well, I try to get into schools as much as I possibly can, but there's other things that pull in different directions. So the maybe political side of the job and working with the public education department, which is great. They're very supportive as well. And just being out in the community, it takes a lot of time. and then, you know, trying to find your way into schools and games. I was at we kicked off the volleyball season, and well, the fall sports season, but I was at a middle school volleyball game. And, you know, when you go to one school and watch a volleyball game, you think you have to go to all of them.
Right? Well,
you can't show any favoritism, right?
That's right.
So I learned that. And then a couple other things, that, you know, the big thing that I really learned is that we have amazing systems in place in Farmington Municipal Schools around our structure and our systems. And, you know, we thank Dr. Schmidt for that vision over the last 7-8 years. But being able to actually monitor those systems and determine whether or not they're working, we had to really stretch ourselves to figure that out, to prove that they are working. And if they're not, how to fix that. So, you know, in the second bullet down, the strategic plan and crafting it with principals, you know, our strategic plan relies around 22 leading indicators. Mm-hmm. And so I thank the board for really narrowing that focus and that language to really align with the actual leading indicators. And so our principals over the course of the last year and some leaders in their schools gave us strategic or criteria to meet those leading indicators. Mm-hmm. And so it was developed with principals, and along with that, we developed a tool where they're gonna have to take each one of these leading indicators and either prove that they're doing it with lagging indicators or data to prove that they're doing it, or how are they gonna improve if they're not there yet? And it's okay. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle.
Right.
So you can't prove them all at the same time. And it's a lot of work. The strategic plan is a big, lofty goal, but we feel like if we do these things well, our schools are going to be much better off, and most importantly, our students are going to learn.
Sure. And is that part, that would be part of your goals, I would assume, for this year coming up, your second year as superintendent?
Yeah. I mean, so the big goal is that tool, and then the collaboration with our principals to monitor our systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's systems in place, but we didn't have a great way to monitor them, and I think now we do. And then the other big goal, or the other big change that we've had, and I don't know if we call it a change, but we want to narrow the focus and deepen the impact. So we talk about, you know, we look at our standards, and if you take the standards that we have in the country, whether it's the Common Core standards, they say that it takes like 15,000 hours to cover them all. Well, K-12, in the most ideal, optimal situation, you have about 9,000 hours with students. Doesn't add up, right?
Right, there's something a little off there.
So we've decided to narrow the focus so we can deepen our impact. And we want to determine what's critical for students to learn, standards that are important beyond a course or a grade level, standard that can be applied beyond a single content area. So determining those standards that are critical for students to move on and be successful, that are essential for success in new or future learning for them. So it's exciting that, you know, we brought a group of teachers together. Ms. Lampson and her team brought teachers together to develop or narrow that focus or determine what's critical. And now we're in the process of aligning target assessments for those critical concepts.
Sure.
So it's good.
And is there still some focus on the effects of maybe the pandemic on some of your students as they move through the grade levels and things like that? I imagine that's something that you'll be watching for a while moving forward.
I think we always will, at least for a period of time. But I think, you know, we talked about this last year about returning to normalcy, right?
Sure.
I think we're well beyond that. And that effect is, we have to put it behind us, although you continue to hear that it's, you know, COVID is back. And but I think that in terms of learning, certainly, and I talked about this in a newspaper article the other day, that we have to make school look different, because what we did find out during the pandemic is that it can be different, right? And so the students of 2023 maybe struggle with hearing a bell every 55 minutes, you know,
right.
and the old traditional system. So what can we do differently to make it more engaging and make it more meaningful and impactful to our students?
Got it. And those students that may have been maybe a little bit lowering their learning from COVID and things like that? I mean, that's still something that the district is watching, I would assume, right, to bring them back up to grade level or wherever they need to be as they move up, depending on where they were when the pandemic hit?
And that's never changed.
Okay.
We were doing that before the pandemic.
Okay. If someone was not learning the concepts, they got extra help.
And so I think it's important to note that, and that's what we talk about when we talk about narrowing the focus.
I see.
And I was at one of our elementary schools last year talking to a principal. And it's a story that I continue to tell is that, you know, let's just say the standard for kindergarten was recognizing and identifying numbers 0 to 5. So often we move on because the next standard is identify numbers 6 to 10. If I can't do that for 0 to 5, how am I going to do it for 6 to 10?
Right.
So we have to narrow the focus and then provide intervention and not only intervention, but in enrichment for students who are doing well, students who are struggling, and students who are doing well. So narrowing that focus, I think, is going to help us with what you just talked about.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, and it makes sense that you don't want to have students that maybe are doing well bored in the classroom because then they're disconnected as well, perhaps.
Well, we go back to, and that's where we go back to, you know, ringing that bell every 55 minutes. So finding opportunities for them to enrich, you know.
Right.
We have our schools who are attempting to do that. I was at Heights Middle School, and they've created a flex time that allows students not only time for intervention, but for enrichment as well.
Okay,
so,
very good.
Good stuff.
Grading scale, we'll talk a little bit about that.
So during the pandemic, the state supported a more equitable grading system, which, and it's really simple, right? So at the secondary level and in high school level, the grading scale was standard, traditional, 0 to 100, right?
Okay.
The 100-point scale.
Right.
During the pandemic, it went to a 50 to 100-point scale. The simplest way to put it is that we were going back to a 0 to 100-point scale. I will say this. I don't think the scale matters. I think what really matters is when students aren't learning, if we create a system to capture learning, it doesn't matter what the scale is. If you're learning, great. If you're not, what are we going to do about it? So we want to focus on grading practices that focus around learning, not doing. And so if we do that and we do that well, the scale doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
But there wasn't a huge change. We just went back to the traditional grading system, the 0 to 100-point scale.
Got it. So that's in place now for this academic year?
Correct.
Got it.
And the only change is for the high schools.
I see.
Yep.
Okay. Understood. Let's see. FMS Threads is on the list.
Yeah. We turned our old central office into a what we call FMS Threads, and it's an opportunity for students who are students and or families who need support and help with clothing, backpacks, school supplies.
Nice.
So I know that we've put out some social media posts about it, and there's a way to reach out to Mr. Paul Pavlik and that program if people are needing that support.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
Very good.
Check our Facebook page out, and I think they have a specific Facebook page, Roberto.
They do. You can also visit our website. It's right on the landing page. You can find all the information about how to get in touch with them.
Okay. Very good. And this is for students of all ages, I guess?
Maybe
you could find something with this collection, I guess?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
We were invited at the end of last year to go over, and it's great volunteers. We have teachers, old staff, retired staff that help support, go in and volunteer a couple days a week. So it's not open full time. You have to schedule an appointment, but you actually go in there and it looks like a little store, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's
it does.
It's great.
Okay.
Clothing racks, sized out, shoes, socks.
Find whatever you need.
Yeah.
Okay.
Backpacks. Good stuff.
Very good. Well, that's great. And again, the website or Facebook page for the district is the place to go for info about that.
Yes, that's farmingtonschools.us.
Thank you. That's true. Very good. The upcoming election, of course, yesterday was the filing deadline. So now you know, all of us know who's running in all of the elections. So you've got a couple seats open on your school board.
We do. We have 3 seats open. And so we look forward to that over the next couple months. And it'll be great. I'll go back to what I said earlier about our community. I think that the names that I see that are there running are people who care about our system, and most importantly, our students and our community. So I'm excited.
Right. Will there be a bond question on the ballot too in November?
There will be 2 levies: House Bill 33 and Senate Bill Nine. So Senate Bill 9 is our capital improvements or our mill money.
Okay.
How we keep our schools maintained and functioning, whether it be roofs and those types of things. And then House Bill 33 is what used to be our old tech notes or our E-rate type stuff. So keeps our technology and our software and all of those things going. So I think the thing to note about that is that it won't raise our taxes.
Either one?
Nope. Okay. Either one won't. And Roberto, I don't know if you want to talk any more about if I've left anything out of on details about it, but it's we can't function without it. So it's good. They're good. They're good levies, and I hope that our community supports us.
Very good. We talked a lot about how technology, I think, can help with education these days. There's a bigger push. Certainly, the district's laptop program is well known in the area, and I would assume some of this money goes to support some of those types of things in addition to the maintenance of your buildings for we have two separate issues we're talking about this morning, but both of those things really help to fund where maybe regular budget appropriations, you can't use money from that pot of money maybe for some of these other projects.
Correct. So, and I think the state has done a nice job of providing those resources for us. But you're exactly right. I mean, our one-to-one initiative for our laptops, that exactly House Bill 33 helps us with that.
Got it.
We wouldn't be able to do it without it.
Right. They kind of wear out over time. You can't have a kid using a 10-year-old Apple something.
They do, and you know, I think it's a great deal for the students of our district and families. We provide a laptop for them and I think they have the laptop fee of $20, but that covers insurance and in case anything happens to the laptop. So it's my boys went through the system, and it wasn't 1-to-1 K-5 at the time, but 6 through 12, you know, for those 7 years, I think it cost me $140 for my kid to have a laptop for 7 years. So pretty good deal.
Right. Very good. Just about out of time this morning, but okay. A couple more things to talk about. Some of your work-based learning, pardon me, and your mock interview programs.
Yeah, so great. Thanks to this program. We have 73 student interns from San Juan College High School, Farmington High School, Piedra Vista, who go out and go in and into our community and gain knowledge and experience in a field that they wanted to try out. And the director of Career and College Readiness, Milo McMinn, has done a nice job of putting this together with his team. And you know, he always tells a story about when he was in high school and he wanted to be a police officer, and he had the opportunity to do a little work-based work with the police department. He found out real quick he didn't want to be a police officer.
Never mind. So that's right. Yeah.
You know, so it's good that our students are able to go out and into the community. And I can't thank our community enough once again for opening their doors to our students to allow them this opportunity. And I think they benefit from it as well.
Sure. And having some of those real interview type situations sitting across from a potential employer, I guess, always helps. Yeah, to brush up on your skills and elevator speeches about yourself, things like that?
It's great practice. And you see the pictures there, and that's in the atrium of our central office. And a week and a half ago-ish, they were in there. And you know, we had community members sitting across the table from these students. And it's great benefit for them.
Very good. Moving on to talk a little bit about sports real quick, Mr. Deal. And, of course, you mentioned the fall sports season is off and running.
Off and running. You know, we had the legacy game between our two comprehensive high schools, and the Scorps came out on top this year, and we're now tied at 12-12. So next year's going to be a big one,
wow,
right?
Wow, it's right. Those are real bragging rights,
yeah,
for sure.
Yep. So great, good game. And, I can't say enough about Isaac Gamboa and his leadership over the athletic department. Monday of this week, there was probably 60 to 70 students from both schools in a leadership program that he has our athletes, and he gathers input from them on various things. And so it's good to see those kids in our central office and the leadership program that he has. But our soccer teams are off and running and doing well. I think our first volleyball games kicked off last night. So served off last night.
There
right?
you go. Right.
Good stuff.
Okay, very good. And last but not least, the Help Wanted sign. Again, you're still looking for folks who would like to join your team?
Yep, always.
Always. I mean,
there's always room. And in an organization as big as ours, there's always going to be work to do. So please check our website and look for the application page and or the job posting page and come join us.
There you go. We started the interview by talking about how large a district you have, and we're ending it by talking about how large a district you have.
Well,
full circle.
And fingers crossed, our enrollment stays where it is, and we keep growing. So
right.
We want to do that.
That's very true. Well, and that reflects back on the community, too. If the
Absolutely.
School district is growing, the community is growing.
Yeah. And I'll just end it with thanks to our community for the support that they give us, whether it's Office of Emergency Management, our fire departments, our police departments, community resources. We can't do it without them. So thank you to our community for what you do for Farmington Schools.
There you go. We hear a lot about that collaboration in this part of the state.
It's really good.
I don't think it happens a lot of other places.
I agree, and we wouldn't be able to do it without it. Great partnerships.
Wonderful.
Thank
Mr. you. Deal, thanks for being here. Good to have you here. Thanks for coming
back.
See you
in a month.
Okay, we'll see you in about a month. Roberto, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month. My guest this morning from Farmington Schools with me here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.